One of my knobs got turned. I don't know what the heck was going on, but that was loud. Yeah. He was at a surprise. Somebody must have bumped one of the knobs on the control board because I'm used to kind of everything being where it is. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, it was 130 decibels coming through the headphones. I thought I was going to die.
Blew the wax out of both ears.
Oh, man. I don't know why I can't keep any of those cameras working. We have three camera systems in the store. I add one here so I can watch what's going on, and three of the cameras keep going out.
Really?
Yeah. There's three of them not working right now. Too many crickets. Jeez. I mean, my back hidden system, all those are on. They're working fine. And the one up front's all working fine. The one I want for me? No. Can't happen. Anyway, this is actually a fishing report. Imagine that.
Yeah, how about that?
Are you kidding me? All right.
Good way to get it started anyway.
Well, the whole thing is, you know, if it was like a real program, we'd have to follow rules.
Yeah, there's like protocols and...
Yeah.
The heck with that.
Okay. All right. Here we are. Let's see. All right. I'm looking at the Peace River system up there on the Peace River. I haven't really heard of anything, but I've been crawling around on my hands and knees, painting floors and hauling boxes and, you know, moving wood and...
Making the place bigger.
Yeah, so...
Prettier.
Right now, Fish and Franks is... three quarters bigger than it was, because it's not quite twice the size.
It's pretty close, yeah.
But, you know, I guess if you think just retail square footage, forget the bait room and the office and everything, we have twice the retail space, maybe a little bit more retail space.
Right.
But overall, just full size, it's not quite. Oh my gosh, it's big. And that's a lot of floor to paint. And I can tell you, crawling around on your hands and knees at my age, you know, and I thought my knees were going to be the thing that really hurt doing it, because I'm taking a little paintbrush and cutting in around all the, you know, the legs of the stands. We put in all those bobber stands and sinker stands and, you know, going around the freezers and stuff. It's my wrist, because I paint in my right hand, and my whole weight's on my left wrist.
You had bad wrist to begin with, so it can't be helping any.
I'm such a wuss, man. I'm really such a wuss. It's like, I hurt. Okay, Peace River. I haven't heard nothing. What are you hearing?
There's been a few snook starting to move up in there. The river's way down, like, what, 2.5 feet or something like that? And so the clarity's getting better and better up there.
Well, let me see what's going on there. I haven't looked at it was down to like 2 feet the other day. It was just, oh man.
Basically at a standstill.
Yeah, there was just like really no water coming. It was like 400 cubic feet a second, not enough to make a difference in anything. And let's see where we are. Oh God, 402 cubic feet a second. We need 800 to protect us from red tide. And we are at 2.5 feet in the Peace River. So in other words, really little to no water coming down the Peace River.
Pretty much.
So while I'm here, let me look. I'm going to check the Gulf temperatures. I know we don't do that till later, but we had such a drastic drop in the Gulf temps, more in the harbor.
14 degrees in the Gulf in 12 days, I think it was.
We're still 1 degree over normal in St. Pete. It's supposed to be 78 at 79 degrees. Pensacola is 2 degrees below normal, 72 instead of 74, and I think they're going to get another cold front. That's going to really push those kings at us.
Yeah, I've already heard of them just above Tampa.
Yeah, so that's really going to help. Cedar Key is not reporting. Key West is not reporting, but I'm going to say they're probably pretty close to average.
Right.
But that's nice with Pensacola being a couple degrees below average. That's going to really drive some fish down to us.
Yeah, that cold front that's coming through to us is the one that just went through them last night.
Yeah.
It's hitting us today.
Cool. So, I'm actually liking it in the morning. If you're not in Florida right now, you're really missing out. This is like nirvana in Florida right now. The nights
nice,
are cool. The days are warm to mildly hot, but not oppressive.
Right.
It's like a beautiful summertime down here right now.
Right.
This is like the perfect beginning of spring, end of summer weather. It's just cool at night and nice during the day and beautiful.
It's very comfortable. Pants or shorts, you're pretty much comfortable.
Yeah, if you're sitting up north and it's cold, miserable, and raining, jump in the car. The hotels are still cheap. They're not even close to full yet. Call around and just drag your boat down and go out and enjoy just being here. And the fishing's better than average right now.
Absolutely.
So, Darst Ramp I-75?
Been some black drum and some juvenile snook. A couple guys even saw some tarpon the other morning, all small guys. Couldn't get any of them to hit, but they at least saw a few fish rolling around there.
Okay.
Overall, the fish are starting to move up that way.
And 41 Bridge.
Matt, I'm getting more reports on a lot of snook, mostly small guys, some juvenile tarpon throughout the day and at night. Black drum, had a couple guys actually catch a couple small trout off of there too, so it's definitely on the upward swing. And tons of little baby mangrove snapper, little 6 to 10 inchers. Nothing really exciting to keep wise, but at least bend the rod a little bit or steal all your bait.
Well, it's like we're at Lashley Pier right now, but actually the way better fishing is not on the pier. It's across the marina from the pier.
Right.
If you were standing on the pier looking to your left, where you have all those rocks that come from the opening of the marina over towards the bridge, there's Goliath grouper there, there's snapper, there's trout, there's all kinds of fish there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good little spot. It's fun to fish. You got that little gazebo there, so if you're bored, you can sit down or walk out on the rocks and make some casts, or if you want to get in the shade, you walk over underneath the bridge a little bit. You got options there. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of snook being caught off of there, but most of what I've heard has been pretty small. Yeah, but they're doing good on the Rapala X-Rap. The size 8 and the size 10 have both been working really good lately on the snook, some of the ladyfish, and some of the trout that have been there. It's weird. We're all out of white again. Yeah, send them out there to see if they can find a white one, but...
White what?
White X-Rap on both sizes are just done.
Yeah, everybody's wanting it. But all you can do, the next best thing is going to be the old Storm Twitch. But
right.
It's not quite what the X-Rap is. I mean, I love the Storm Twitch. It catches a hell of a lot of fish. But there is something special about an X-Rap.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Bayshore Pier?
I haven't heard a thing there, honestly, this week.
Yeah, I haven't heard. The canals in Port Charlotte.
Pretty darn good. Jacks, snook, black drum, a lot of juvenile tarpon, especially over there in Spring Lake, and up there on the Pelham Waterway, quite a few people talking about those. And then the mangrove snapper and a few redfish up towards the, what's that, off the Midway Locks, that waterway. Is that the Countryman Waterway?
Manchester.
So, not too bad. Good little mixed variety of stuff. And we're on the backside of that full moon, so the early mornings have been starting to pick back up a little bit. It's mostly been evenings and middle of the day.
All right, so what's going on at El Jupin?
El Jupin's been a little quiet, but the handful of people have been doing good on some small snook with a couple bigger size fish at night. And then during the day, they've been getting some nice mangrove snapper, a few black drum of all sizes from 14 inches all the way up to like 30 pounders. And then the juvenile tarpon have been rolling around there fairly regularly right at sunset and into the dark. I haven't heard of any early morning bite on them, but seeing a lot of them in the evening. And there has been a couple of jacks coming through here and there. All of them are little guys, like 1 to 2 pounders. I haven't heard of any real big ones, but enough where the guys are catching them and bending the rod.
All right. Let's see. The Mayaca River area.
You got Tippy Canoe, and right at the north end of the Mayaca cutoff, guys have been catching a few more redfish, even a couple of oversized ones, quite a few small snook. And one guy skipped a bunch of pompano right there at Hog Island, but he couldn't catch any of them. And then there's been a couple schools of ladyfish right out not quite in the middle of the channel, but closer to the Hog Island side. No tarpon in them, no sharks, nothing else, but good if you're taking out some newbies fishing and just want to bend the rod and have a good time with those. Surprising that tarpon aren't mixed in with them, because I'm still hearing mixed reports of them throughout the place.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell, but you know, somebody else was talking and said, oh, there's all these ladyfish, there should be a ton of tarpon. But if you've got big schools of ladyfish, they're actually out there feeding, and they're just busting the surface and going crazy, and you just got acres and acres of them. Of course there's not going to be a predator there, because if there was a predator there, they wouldn't be doing that.
All right.
They, for some reason, the predators are somewhere else, and they're just having a ball, just doing
their
what,
normal thing.
Yeah. It's like you see a big wad of thread fin baits, you know, they're bait fish going across the surface of the water, and they're just kind of going along doing their thing. Well, they can do that because there's no predators there to bother them.
Right.
Once the predators move in, they start going down, they start coming up, they get real sporadic, but they're not just going to be moving feeding.
Right.
And so why the predators aren't there, I don't know, but it just makes sense. I mean, they wouldn't be able to, like, just relax and feed and go crazy.
Right.
So, South Gulf Cove,
they have their relaxing moments just like us.
Mm-hmm.
South Gulf Cove, the only
guy. We have a lounge now.
Right.
Well, we don't actually have a lounge. We have a table with cushions. We have seats with cushions on outside of a door, but, you know.
Right.
You know, next week, because I've got the floors done, we've got the walls kind of there, we're getting the products up. Now, next week, I start on doing the seminar area. I got to get the seminar area done, and I got a picture of it in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually know how we're going to do this to make it work.
Is that a hallucination because of the lack of sleep you're getting, or is it a dream that you actually had because you actually fell asleep for an hour or two?
I'm not sure.
Just curious, because you are literally an animal the last month. It's like hard to believe you're still standing.
Yeah, I've lost about 10 pounds, 12 pounds.
Jeez, not surprising.
But, yep. It's fun. It's the glamorous life of a bait shop owner. People think once you have 15, 16 employees and you've got all these people around that, you know, you kind of stand around and
put your feet up, talk
collect
to people,
money.
Yeah.
They don't see you hauling the garbage and sweeping the floors and vacuuming and painting. And
the ones that do see it just joke about it. That's the funniest part, because you're in
there. I got tripped over me. I was on, you know, I'm coming my hands and knees, painting along the edge of the wall, trying to get, you know, because I did the roller. I do the roller first, because if I do the cuts first, I end up painting way too much.
Right.
If I do the roller first, I paint like about an inch and a half. If I do the cutout first, I end up painting 4 to 6 inches, and then I do it over with the roller anyway, so.
Right.
Anyway, but I'm going along the floor. The guy literally walked over me. He was looking around, looking up, looking at all the stuff, and he tripped over me.
That's funny.
I guess I got to put a red cone on my butt when I'm crawling around.
And a flag standing up.
Yeah, I ain't putting it there. All right, I'm going to do the red cone. I can set that on my back. I ain't there no one way that flag's sticking up, and it ain't going to happen. All right. Yeah.
Oh, there's more to that joke, I'm sure.
You're just, that's cruel. Okay. South Gulf Cove canals. I really want to know about that. What's going on? I got to know, Robert.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm Mayan cichlids, tilapia, and a few reports of some bass back in there.
Spell tilapia again.
T-I-L-A-P-I-A.
Okay. I don't know, I was throwing H in there. All right. Mayans, tilapia.
And bass. Yeah, they've been doing pretty good back in there, mostly at the backs of the canals. I haven't heard much up towards the front, working out towards cattle dock, but inside, definitely. They've been getting 2 to 3 pound tilapia, 1.5 pound Mayan cichlids. One guy got a 4 pound bass while he was fishing for those.
It's going to take us over the west wall.
Snook and redfish along the bushes.
Guy was in today and he had these pictures of these monster fish. He was thanking us for the fishing report because, you know, we were telling him about where the fish, you know, like we're doing right now, sort of. And he went over and went to the spots and did that. And he's got these pictures of all these monster snook. I mean, they just had a ball.
Nice.
And he was just so excited. And, you know, it's kind of nice when people come in and say, listen to the fishing report, you know, and they enjoy the shows and they want to know what's going on. And he literally got into town. It was, he'd been here like 3 days before his buddies, all his buddies got down and they all went out fishing and they had a great time fishing.
Nice.
And he wanted to thank us for it. It was really cool. It was nice to know that, you know, you and I like talking to each other. We talk to each other all day. So, you know, but it's nice to know somebody else is listening too.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, we got snook on the west side. What?
And redfish. You know, they're both up in the bushes and up in those creeks. The water is getting clearer. It's actually super clear down there. Last Sunday when I talked to you and I was all flustered trying to get into Turtle Bay.
Yeah.
I ended up getting just aggravated, so I just worked my way up the west wall and just pulled over to a spot that a little bush was sticking out farther and the wind was blowing kind of right onto the west wall, so I anchored up there and I said, oh, we got good water clarity and let's just sit here and wait for fish to come by. And we saw several snook come by, a redfish, and then she watched about a 26, 28 inch snook come up and eat her pinfish.
Yeah, it's amazing when you get to see it.
She loves the sight fish.
Well, what's going on right now? And we're talking about how Nirvana, I mean, just amazing Southwest Florida is right now, because the water's clear, the river's not flowing, so we got no brown water coming into the harbor. So every time the tide comes in and the tide goes out, it's exchanging that brown fresh water for clear salt water. Mm-hmm. And the water's getting clearer and clearer. The east side's gin clear. The west side's probably got, I would say, 3-4 feet of visibility.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're literally coming into the time of year where you could actually bring a fly rod and do okay, because you can see the fish.
Right. Well, and to add to that, like you've always talked about, you get the freshwater bacteria comes down and kills out the saltwater bacteria. Now the saltwater bacteria is coming in and killing off the freshwater bacteria, and the algae are doing that exchange.
Right.
So you have kind of that neutral point where there's not really any saltwater algae, but there's really not any freshwater algae yet either, because they're competing against each other
and
making
so
it clearer there's in addition
almost,
to it.
Yeah, there's almost no bacteria in the harbor. We've got some of the clearest, cleanest water we're going to have. 2 points during the year, springtime and fall. We have amazingly clean water, very little to no bacteria, and it's literally paradise at this point.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty impressive.
Scrolling down, Cape Hayes.
Well, Cape Hayes has got some trout, quite a few ladyfish, and there has been some bonnetheads moving on to it. One guy was saying that he hooked a couple of pompano, couldn't land them. He wasn't really expecting it. He thought they were jacks, so he was kind of reefing a little hard and ended up pulling the hook next to the boat on two of them. Which, I can understand that, because there's days where you just catch two main jacks, and you're like, okay, it's just another jack, and then, uh-oh. But the funny part was, he didn't say anything about catching any jacks. He just thought it was the way it was fighting.
Oh, yeah, because you get out there right at the mouth of Turtle Bay, or the where that kind of slight trough goes in on the, I guess it would be the east side of Cape Hayes. Mm-hmm. Those fish will come in there to go feed those deeper holes behind the bar, and they exit right there. But when those pompano come through, it literally looks like a school of small jacks.
Yeah.
And we don't think of them that way, but the water there's only a couple of feet deep, so you get all that swirling on the top, and they're very quick, active, darting fish, and it's like, oh, look at that, well, okay, we'll catch a jack, and oh, pompano!
Yep, so it's been pretty good over there. You know, and once again, the clarity's getting better and better, so if you're real vigilant, and you can either sit still, or you can wade, because it's kind of that perfect time of year to wade fish, too, and that bar is pretty firm sand.
Oh, yeah, it's nice over there. I just dropped the anchor and, you know, on the sandbar where it's, if you've got an incoming tide. If it's an outgoing tide, drop your anchor in 2 or 3 feet of water and get out. If it's an incoming tide, you can drop in the shallows.
Yeah.
But I've actually came back to the boat one time after walking that bar, and the boat was high and dry.
Whoops.
It was a outgoing tide. And I just went up and anchored it, and the wind kind of blew the boat back over the top of the sandbar. I come walking up and going, really? Oh, man, I wouldn't want to go home. I've been wading all day, and it was hot. I was like, damn, I was on that bar for like 3 hours before I could get it off.
That's a drag. Because
the motor was up in the shallowest part.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Because the anchor had held the front of the boat, but the wind and the current just kind of drifted the back around. Of the boat around. When I left, the back of the boat was 180 degree different. It was facing west. And when I got back, the back of the boat was east. And it was like, ugh, that sucks. Anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout up inside there. Most of them are on the smaller side, but there's been quite a few trout in that 18 to 20 inch range also being caught. Redfish and snook along the bushes. I haven't heard much way in the back of Turtle Bay, but on the by the shack or whatever where that deep trough is at, a lot of guys catching some nice snook over there, redfish, and been seeing some juvenile tarpon swimming around in there. They're also seeing quite a few sheep's head swimming along the bushes. Not many guys are catching them, but guys are definitely seeing them swimming along the bushes and around the shack right there at the mouth of Bull Bay. So it's time to kind of get ready for some of those fish, which is always a little exciting, you know, a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't think of sheephead as being a flats fish and on the mangroves, but they really are.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially right before the spawn, because yeah, one will get joined by another one, who gets joined by another one and another one. And so you start off, you know, all summer long, you got a sheephead here and there, then now all of a sudden they're getting together in groups.
Right.
It's like, hey, you're kind of cute. Come on, let's, you know, let's go hang out for a while, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like sheephead version of clubbing.
Right. Well, people don't realize, you know, they are crustacean feeders and they love to chew on barnacles and tube worms and all that stuff grows on those mangrove roots. And then you've got the shacks in addition to that with their pilings and little tiny oyster patches scattered throughout the whole place. So there's plenty of food for them to grub on just moving around on the flats. And a lot of times guys will confuse tailing red, you know, they'll confuse sheep's head with redfish when they're tailing because they look very similar. And that's always kind of fun, you know, because you get those unexpected moments. Guy come in, yeah, I thought I saw a whole bunch of tailing redfish, and as I drifted up close enough, I realized that they were all sheep's head.
Yeah. All right. Cape Hayes Danger Reef, what's going on there?
Ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, and some bluefish, and then there's been a handful of mangrove snapper on them. I heard of one short cobia caught off of Danger Reef. It was like 30-incher. And then there's also been a couple of small black tips out there too, mixed in with those ladyfish and Spanish mackerel. So it's not bad.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound, basically all of Devilfish, all the way over to Catfish Creek. It's got redfish and snook on it. Quite a few trout if you're drifting over the areas around Sandfly or the clam leases. And then it's almost a mirror image over there by the Three Sisters area behind Boca Grande, you know, because that kind of all encompasses that whole area. Not too much going north of Three Sisters, but just a little bit south of there is kind of the same thing. Snook, redfish, trout, occasional Spanish mackerel as you get out into that little bit deeper water, and some ladyfish schooled up also. And there was a guy that saw a bunch of tarpon right there between Devilfish and the Three Sisters blowing up on some ladyfish. And that was that Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday that I talked to him. It was early in the week. But he said they were out there kind of going nuts. He was on his way offshore to go out there and look around. But got to at least watch them.
Okay, Placida Pier.
Sheep's head are moving in on it. There's been a little group of fish moving in on it where guys are actually able to target them right now. I know they go in spurts because of the water temperature, but you got that first little group of fish moving in and out there. Been also a couple bonnet heads, a couple Spanish mackerel, two flounder I've heard about. No night reports out there though lately. So, but daytime fishing's been pretty good. You know, the news reports were saying that there was a little bit of red tide out there, but the other news report this morning went out to Boca, which surprised me. They went out to Boca yesterday to do an interview with that glass bottom boat guy or whatever. It's trying to make a deal out there, and they went for a ride around the island.
He's going to make money for what, 2 months a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they went out for a ride from Uncle Henry's and out through Little Gasparilla Pass.
Right.
And out along the beach. And the reporter said, we never felt it, never saw anything, never saw any dead fish, never smelled anything, and it was perfectly fine. Which was kind of nice to hear a positive.
What channel was that?
That was on Wink.
Really?
Yeah.
The Weirdo Wink?
Yeah, and they're usually the ones that highlight the whole harbor is red and death.
Yeah, you know? I mean,
it was kind of nice.
For years, everybody kind of relied on Wink to be very good with the news. And for the last year, I mean, they just fell right into the network CBS garbage of make everything sound horrible and be everything's bad, everything's horrible. Hopefully, maybe they're finding out that nobody's going to advertise with them if all they can tell you about is how horrible stuff is.
Right.
People are tired of that. I mean, that's why CNN has the lowest ratings ever, is because they just, people are tired of hearing complaining, whining stuff.
What's CNN abbreviated for?
Constant negative news.
Right.
It's just, you know, I'm so tired of it. You can't even watch any of the networks anymore because it's all garbage. Just, oh my God, the world's ending, the world's ending. Tell us what's good. Tell us what's bad. Tell us the middle. Tell us the truth. And forget your opinion, because believe it or not, we don't care what your opinion is. This is what happened. This is what we want to know. Edward R. Murrow, where are you, buddy? You know? All right, Lemon Bay.
I honestly have not had any reports on Lemon Bay this week.
Okay, the bridge at Anger Pier?
They are catching some snook there at night, and during the daytime they have been picking up a couple of small trout, some mangrove snapper, and a couple of Spanish mackerel. And the actual bridge itself, I haven't heard much of. It's all right there off the Anger Pier. And there was a guy who took his kids fishing there, and he actually remembered Josh's article from months ago of microfishing. So he actually let his kids sit there and just catch pinfish and other little hobber-dobbers, so to speak,
right
down by the beginning of the pier. And he said they caught at least 5 or 6 different species, but they were under 10 years old. But he said they had a blast for like just an hour. Just had a blast catching little tiny fish.
Well, you take some like number 12 hooks, you know, little tiny like freshwater trout hooks.
Right.
And little pieces of shrimp meat, not live shrimp, just slice the shrimp tail up in little pieces. You drop them down around the bridges or the piers. You can catch a ton of tiny fish, and just, especially with kids, they have a ball. They don't care if it's bigger or smaller or whatever. They're just catching fish. They're having a ball, and you'd be surprised what kind of cool bait you can come up with. Some stuff you're not allowed to use for bait if it's a game fish.
Right.
But there's a lot of other stuff down there. Sand bream and all these little tiny silver jannies that you can catch for bait. Toss them back out there, and the wounded one's more enticing as food than a live healthy one because they're not as fast.
Right.
They're easier to eat. They're still alive, so they're still good, but they're easy. And let's face it, whether it's me or a fish, if you got to chase your food around the, you know, the room for, you know, 20 minutes before you eat it, maybe, you know, if the AC's just right and I'm in a good mood, pretty much I'd rather just walk up and be able to pick my sandwich up, not have to chase it down.
Right.
I'd be like chasing the food truck down the street, you know. Stop, stop.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out there?
I haven't had many far offshore reports. Everything's been closer from anywhere from 1 to 15 miles. In closer to shore from 1 to 5 miles, there's a lot of Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and some small black tips mixed in with those ladyfish. There's even been a handful of small, you know, small kingfish, you know, under 24 inches, basically. And then there's been an occasional cobia out there. The cudas are starting to thin out a little bit on the near shore reefs, but they're still there, along with a couple of big jacks. But the mangrove snapper, lane snapper, and even a couple of yellowtails have been out there around that 15 to 18 mile mark. Other than that, nobody's really been running way offshore that I've had this week. You know, if it's a mirror image of last week, I would say that there's still a lot of bonita out there with some blackfin and red grouper have all been kind of that 30 to 40 mile mark. So I'm sure that probably hasn't changed a whole lot, but I think this wind has been kind of dampering things a little bit with this front. And some guys hate this full moon. You know, a couple of our regulars that offshore fish, they either swear by it or they swear at it. It's not really much in between.
Yeah, it's amazing. People don't understand why a full moon makes a difference. It's about the amount of light it produces. Mm-hmm. If the fish are out there and they can see well all night, they can see their prey, and it actually makes it harder for the prey to see them coming because it's kind of twilight conditions.
Right.
So you get so many of these fish feeding all night long that come morning time, they're just not eating. Right. And it's usually much later in the day before the bite actually starts after a full moon.
Exactly.
So if you're going to go fishing around a full moon, either get out before daylight or just wait. Go out, have breakfast, you know, gas up the boat, get your stuff ready, and then go fish the afternoon because that's when you're probably going to do it. But if you're like, okay, I want to get out first thing in the morning and I'm going to fish all morning, come back this afternoon, you're probably not going to have a great day right after a full moon or during a full moon.
Right. Exactly.
You know, if you change your habit a little bit and just get out there, you probably will have a pretty good day. But you can't do what you did during the dark as you did during the, you know, when it's light out all night.
Right.
And it's funny. I used to be like up till 1 o'clock. And I mean, I go home, pass out. I just sleep for 2-3 hours and I wake up and I'm up for a couple hours and I sleep for another couple hours, wake up, you know, it's kind of normal. But then the cool thing is I'm outside all night and so I see all the different moon phases and sunrises and sunsets and all that. It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind going to bed and actually be able to sleep till morning.
Solid night.
Yeah. I just don't see it happening. So I'm trying to make, you know, be the positive one out of this. I get to see all the cool stuff at night, the moons, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. All right. Venice.
Venice, a lot of Spanish mackerel up there off the jetties, along with some ladyfish and some pompano. And Sharkies is kind of almost a mirror image of that. Yeah, it's been pretty good. A little tiny light patch of red tide moved in up there, but it was in and out relatively quickly. Didn't change the fishing much because that one guy was in here a day before yesterday, but another guy was in here yesterday afternoon that went fishing there in the morning and caught Spanish and ladyfish and no worries. Right.
What's going on with Stump Pass?
Stump Pass, I haven't heard anything about this week. It's weird. I mean, that whole Inglewood area, I haven't heard much about it except for that Anchor Pier story.
All right. Gasparilla?
Spanish mackerel and ladyfish. All kind of moving in and out of there and going just offshore. And I did find out about the stone crab pots. A lot of those guys are moving them out to 15 miles and 18 miles because everything inside, they're just having a very hard time getting anything.
Gotcha. Let's see. Let me get this moved. Almost there. Let's see. Boca.
Boca Grande's got the Spanish mackerel, ladyfish. Some sheep's head are starting to move through there a little bit, so, and then the mangrove snapper bite's starting to pick back up a little bit. Water is getting clearer. It's got a little bit of a milky color to it, but it's the tannin color is starting to fade out significantly. And then there's been a lot of baby gag grouper being caught too, so it's not bad. Heard of some tarpon rolling, but nobody's fishing for them at all in there, which is what I would personally try to do if it's nice enough weather.
Alright, Captiva?
Captiva's Spanish mackerel. Not a lot, but some Spanish mackerel along with some ladyfish. Other than that, I have nothing.
Okay, redfish.
Got nothing from down there. Minimal reports, unfortunately.
Okay. And that's going to take us to walking along the beach. What? Any idea what beach or what you would catch?
The only thing I've gotten a report on was Boca Grande.
Yeah.
From the Broken Down Pier area and then up by 19th Street. Guys have been catching a couple of pompano, seeing a few snook. And the at the Broken Down Pier, the guys got into a couple of bonnet heads. Other than that, it's been a little quiet out there.
Yeah, I've heard of a couple of flounder.
Yeah, this is the time of year when they should be starting to move around. Mm-hmm. Kirk went out the other night looking for alligators and went around that area, but he said it was a little milky to look for any flounders because they were going to bycatch them.
Right. All right. Ponarasis, Annabelle?
Got nothing this week. I have not heard anything.
And I didn't get a report from the Fort Myers store, so I don't know what to tell them about that.
They're slacking.
Yeah. I guess they're getting some people in there and just forgetting to do the reports.
Right.
So, we're going to bypass a bunch of that, go over to Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's been incredible. In the Indian fields, they're getting some nice trout, some redfish, a handful of snook, and then coming up above Matt Lachey, kind of the same thing. Trout are starting to pick up immensely, a couple of flounder, some snook, a few redfish. Our shrimp driver, she fishes a lot, so I get some good reports from her. They other day they got into some flounder along with their trout while they were working jigs up closer to Smokehouse Bay or Smokehouse Point or whatever it is. I can't remember any of it.
Smokehouse Bay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and that's going to take us around to Pine Island Sound.
Honestly, the only thing I've had report-wise was right there by the shacks. They're getting some trout and a few small Spanish mackerel. Other than that, I got nothing else from down there.
Yeah, and I've made most of the captains down there mad at them because they were posting all that negative stuff in the internet and told them to get the hell out.
Right.
So we lost a lot of our fishing reports from down there because I was literally telling the guys to get out of the store. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all.
Right.
If all you can talk about is bad stuff, you need to talk about the bad stuff. You need to talk about the good stuff, the mediocre stuff. It all needs to be said.
Right.
Not just, oh, this is horrible, this is horrible, the world's ending. Man, get away from me.
Right.
You know, come in, you want discounts and deals, and then you're running your mouth. You should pay for it. I pay for it. When I say things that upset people, they don't come in the store.
Right.
So, I mean, it costs me money to have my opinions, but they're my opinions. I don't try and hide them. I'm not, you know, going around. But I want to talk about the good and the bad.
Right.
Yeah, I just think, you know, middle of the road is a great place to be. That's where I drive my truck. And it really does kind of, upset some people. I'm on a middle hour review, you know. That's just because I'm old and I don't really pay attention to where I'm driving. So, yeah. Beep, okay, back in my lane. All right, Jug Creek Shoals.
There's been some Spanish mackerel, some ladyfish, and some small jacks there. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet until you get up towards the Boquilla part.
Okay, what's going on by Boquilla?
Pompano, a few sheep's head, the Spanish mackerel mixed in with some ladyfish, and some small sharks, the black tips. A couple of bonnet heads been cruising along the sandbar over there, and a couple guys that are fishing the bushes right there. Just where was he? He was right. He said he was within view of the pier, and he got into some snook along the bushes there. Nothing real big, but he saw some big fish cruising the shoreline, which is what made him stop to begin with.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
It was new to him. He had never done it before. He was over there looking for a pompano and stumbled across a couple big fish cruising the shoreline.
Yeah. People say my fishing reports are like a word jumble. You got to try and figure out what I'm talking about by the misspelling. All right. Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Redfish and pompano, pretty much from there all the way down out on the bar, on the outside of the bar, the inside of the bar. Been a couple guys wade fishing down there, and that's all they're talking about is the redfish and the pompano. Ever heard anything about snook or trout down there.
Okay, east side of the harbor?
Nah, it's significantly better as far as clarity goes. Redfish are all over, anywhere from Burnt Store all the way up to Alligator Creek. Mostly along the bushes and a lot of bycatch of snook. And then there's been a handful of trout, mostly on the outside of the bar. If you're on the inside of the bar, the vast majority of those trout are pretty small, but if you get on the outside edge of the bar, that's where they're getting a few of those legal size fish, 15, 18 inch fish. Nothing real giant over there except for a couple guys that are drifting pinfish are actually picking up some bigger ones.
Okay. Alligator Creek.
Redfish on both sides of the entrance to Alligator Creek. And then going inside, they've been getting some bigger snook, some jacks, and the mangrove snapper bite starting to pick up a little bit more. And then right there inside the burnt store aisles entrance, that where the old locks used to be or whatever, they've been getting some bigger mangrove snapper there, some bigger snook, and some juvenile tarpon. So it's starting to do really good up inside there. Guy's been fishing off his dock there in burnt store aisles and catching some nice mangrove snapper, he said.
Yeah, it took a few years for the fish to actually decide to go into burnt store aisles.
Right.
But once they removed the locks, or, you know, the openings into there, it's been getting literally better by the year. Each year, it gets better back there. More fish are finding it. There's a lot less boat traffic. They don't get a lot of outside pressure because you got to go all the way up Alligator Creek through the opening to get back to BSI. And so it doesn't get the big pressure that Punta Gorda Isles or Port Charlotte canals get.
Right.
And the fish are finding out, you know, that this is quiet back here.
It's off the beaten path.
Yep. Ponce de Leon.
Some black drum and some small mangrove snapper. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Okay.
No, unless you count all the mullet that went through there the other day.
The PGI canals.
Snook. Juvenile tarpon. A lot of big black drum. And the mangrove snapper bite's starting to get better. You know, 12, 13 inch mangrove snapper being caught back in there. Seems like it's been inundated pretty good too with some hardhead catfish, because a lot of guys coming in talking about all the catfish they've been catching lately back in there. So, good news, bad news. You know, and hardheads, I think personally my most liked of all the catfish. They're like a little buzzsaw for me. I seem to have more problems with those than a sail cat trying to grab them with the fish gripper, because about the time you're ready to close it on them, they just just go nuts.
Oh yeah, hardheads are much bigger pain in the butt than what the sail cats are.
Yeah.
And hardheads are not as consistent when you go to eat them.
Right.
I've had times where, you know, you got people and you make a beer batter using pancake mix or waffle mix, and then you take like an Ice House or Samuel Adams beer. It has to be a real beer. It can't be a Budweiser or a Coors or anything else like that. It's got to be actually like an independent, you know, smaller, thicker, darker beer, because otherwise you got no beer flavor. It's mostly water. But you use that in, and on the box of the pancake mix, they'll say add this much water. Well, you just add that much beer instead of water. And then you fillet your catfish up, just filleting the tail section. I cut it into about half, three-quarter inch cubes, you know, making little dice things, pat them dry with a towel once they're filleted, wash them good, pat them dry with a towel, and then I put them in the pancake mix. I just kind of keep filling the bowl up with them, stirring it up to get it to stick good, and then just put them in the oil, hot oil, and they come out just like you would find at the, I don't know, what, Long John Silver's got that big, thick batter on them. You know, you get that really nice batter, and it sticks good. But if you don't pat them dry before you put them in the pancake mix, it doesn't stick to them. The water doesn't allow the pancake batter to stick. So you really got to take a paper towel and dry them, dry the chunks off good. But then they come out, and they're great. The only thing with the hardheads is they're kind of like largemouth bass, where you eat one and it's awesome, then you eat the next one, it's got that kind of funk flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with it, and I forget what they call that, but...
Yeah, I don't remember the term they use for it, but...
It's not anything wrong with the meat, it's just something they ate.
It's just a little gamier.
Yeah, a little gamier taste. Whereas the sail cats, they might have parasites in them, but the meat is very consistent and the flavor's much more consistent.
Yeah.
So I would rather fillet up the sail cats, but sometimes all you catch is the hardheads.
Right. Well, so, your sail cat is more predator than scavenger, versus this hardhead is more scavenger, less predator.
Yeah.
So I think that plays a role in it.
All right. Gilcrest Pier.
Zero. Got nothing at all there.
Okay.
Pickleball.
There was... I'm actually not going to question mark it because there's a bunch of jacks right off the seawall.
Okay.
And you got jacks out there and some ladyfish.
Well, that's not too bad.
But you're literally going to have to go looking for them. If you're just going to stand on the pier, you got to wait for them to come to you. What I would do is take minimal amount of stuff with you and take your rod and just kind of start walking down the seawall. And all of a sudden, you'll see the fish start blowing up. But if you're just going to stay in one spot, you're in that spot until the fish find you.
Right.
If you are walking up and down the whole seawall, you'll probably find the fish by the time you walk and come back towards the pier. You probably have caught a few fish. But just sitting on the pier, they might not go by the pier for an hour or two.
Right.
So it's easier to just go look for them. Alligator Creek Reef.
Some Spanish mackerel have been on it off and on. They are picking up some more mangrove snapper and a couple of sheep's head off of it. And then there's also been a handful of short cobia and even a couple of legal cobia being caught off of it. You know, they're on the lower end of the legal size.
Yeah, the legal size.
Right.
Right.
Frog in the throat.
That sounded like you were into my moonshine.
Right.
Yeah.
That might not be a bad thing.
Yeah. I can actually say that's been helping me get through the day here. Little sips here and there. Because I can tell you, there's nothing more frustrating than a complete remodel.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I hate to say admit it, but it's actually been little sips here and there. I sell myself no drink, just sip.
Just a sip.
Just a sip, here or there. Let's see, Alligator Creek Reef. And that's going to take us out to the deep holes in the harbor.
There's been some tarpon still out in there, along with a couple of oddball Spanish mackerel and some ladyfish. Overall, it's been pretty quiet.
What about the bluefish?
They're just mixed. I haven't heard consistently. It's like you'll hear one guy catch two or three and then nothing, and then another guy, eh. It seems like they're in one school of ladyfish or Spanish mackerel, and then they're not in the next three schools. It's been very weird.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Are we going to do a bait report yet?
Or no.
Okay.
Most of what's out there is still small.
Yeah, I don't really... I'm thinking we need to do a cast net order because in the next month, I think the bait's going to be big enough. It's going to grow big enough this next month where we can actually do bait reports and say, you know, go out and catch this.
There you go.
So the freshwater stuff. What's going on freshwater?
Most of your Northport canals and Port Charlotte canals are starting to pick up a little bit more with the bluegill. Tilapia bites still been pretty consistent with worms. And then the basses... slowed down just a little bit on the shiner aspect, but more guys are buying like the flukes and the just the regular old like the Yamamoto style, that stick, whatever they're called. I can't even remember the name of them, but the wacky worms, you know, that kind of style worms, those have picked up quite a bit this week.
The Senko worms.
Senkos, that's it, that's the word. So, you know, they are picking them up. I haven't heard of any real giant bass unless you're Morris. And he's, Jesus, those fish that he sent the other day were terrifying.
I mean, literally, if you're out there and you want to catch that 10-pound bass, you're going to hire Morris Campbell. And you're going to go spend a day or two with him. And within 2 days, you will have your 10-pounder, I'm 90% sure.
It'll be 9.5 to an 11-pound fish, no question.
If you really want to break that 10-pound mark, Morris is probably the only person I know of that you've got a better, I would say, an 8 out of 10 chance of breaking your 10 pounds with him, and even in a one-day trip. But within 2 days, you probably got a 95% chance of breaking 10 pounds. I don't know how the guy does it.
No, I don't either. Some of those fish he sent the other night, it was like, holy mackerel, was that Thursday night? I think he sent those pictures out.
Yeah, I got... so, give me just a second, and Oh, damn. I hate it when I do that. Come on. I get so used to clicking that I forget I gotta wait. Alright. There it is. Alright, we're gonna do the red dots on the tarpon map first.
Okay.
And the almost there. Wait a minute. I'm still still doing colors. Alright. Gotcha. Where we do the red dots? The best.
20-foot hole going all the way through Cape Hayes out to Boca Grande. Well, that seems to be the most consistent spots.
Alright. What are we going to do? Yellow dots where there's a better than even chance?
Along the beach going north of Boca and a little bit down towards Captiva.
How far north? Gasparilla or Stump?
Yeah, I'd say Gasparilla. And then also up by the 41 bridge because of those juveniles slash sub-adults that have been up there.
Mike River?
Never heard of anything except for those few babies that guys are seeing
Boquilla,
in the
area. Cape Hayes.
Well, we did the Cape Coral. Red dots all the way around Cape Hayes.
Yeah. Cape Coral, Sanibel.
Nothing.
So this is it?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Let me put a date on this one.
Maybe night fishing down there at the Cape Coral and Sanibel might be all right. That I would probably say is a possibility, but I wouldn't go 50-50 just because I haven't heard anything.
Okay, I got the date on it. Now I can save it. So I guess this brings us close to the end of another fishing report here. Back to be, it seems to be back each week again.
It is.
You know, families and all that kind of stuff. You just...
Families, remodels.
Yeah, you know, you get all this stuff going on, and sometimes you can't get to everything the way you want to, but, you know, we do the best we can.
Speaking of that, my mom and sister will be here in a couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So we can make some time to take them out.
My sister will be here for 3 days, I think. My mom will be here for a couple weeks, I think.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go to Atlantic City. I've got one supplier who wants to pay my way up to Atlantic City in hopes that I'm going to buy tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff from them, but you know.
I think you should go just for the mental therapy aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll find out.
Warranting these?
Yeah, 1 year in store warranty. Yeah. We just started selling Lewes. LEWS, the bait casters and all that other kind of stuff. So the guys are still asking me, do we do in-store warranty on those? And yes, we're doing in-store warranty on the Lewes rods and reels. And we got Abu bait casters. I ordered more Quantum bait casters. I got a couple Shimano's coming. There's so much stuff to try and get in and remember.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. It's just, you know, mind-boggling. Also, while I'm talking, finish loading so I don't forget to load the tarpon maps up. Three or four times I load everything up and forget to actually punch the button to make it go up on the internet. It's like all these people who want me to buy the, you know, pay them to do my fishing report, my website, and all this. Oh, we'll put it up. All you have to do is just, you know, email me with what you want and we'll put it up for you. I said, so I'm going to type it all out for you and then email that to you so you can retype it and click the button to say, you know, that give me a break, you know? So, anyway, took about one more useless job in the world.
Sounds like a government job.
Yeah.
You do this and do this and I'm just going to copy and paste it.
Yeah. When somebody can come up and actually go out and do, get fishing reports from people and get everything together, I'll consider paying them. But I mean, paying somebody to go click.
Right.
So, let's see. Anything else we should talk about?
No, not really. I mean, the weather's changing. It's getting beautiful. Lots of fish starting to pop up and go into different places. So, start looking at some of your wintertime spots and see what's moved in, because things seem to be changing fairly quickly.
And I know if you're like in Wisconsin, it's rainy, it's cold, it's miserable, and several states across the Northeast. If you just need a break, and a lot of, you know, a lot of guys work outside construction, they're just not working right now. You know, hop on a plane. Come down and spend a few days in Florida. It's literally gorgeous right now. And I will tell you, I've talked to a lot of realtors, and they're saying mid to late November, a lot of people have booked in already. So if you can get here in the next week or two, you're going to avoid the crowds. It's not going to be like full-on, you know, snowbird tourist season. It's literally, you got this next week to 2 weeks to kind of get in when it's awesome. You know, right. After that, it's just going to go on to be, you know, okay, yeah, you're in Florida, and it's really nice, but right now, it's literally amazing out there, and there's still very few boats in the water. We're still not doing near the business we should be, which is bad for us. You know, I would like the money, but it's been nice because we're remodeling. But if you're getting out on the water, right now is the time to do it. It's spectacular.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, catch you in the next Radio Fishing, Fish and Frank's, Robert and Frank thing, Area Fishing Report, whatever the heck this is. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.